Well, my name is Ashby Kumpahi, and I am here with Dartricia Rollins, and we are interviewing Jacqueline Toomer.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. For the Telling Our Own Stories, Black Women's Leadership Legacies event. Today is September 23rd, 2023, and Georgia Dusk, the Southern Liberation Oral History, is conducting this oral history at the Seven Stages Theater in Little Five Points neighborhood of Atlanta. You have been asked to participate in this storytelling project. One moment. Excuse me, we are starting to record. Can we be a little quieter? Thank you. You have been asked to participate in this storytelling project to uplift the stories of Black women and their lineage in radical leadership, and part of the film screening of Storming Caesar's Palace. Storming Caesar's Palace uplifts the story of a band of ordinary Black women, or Black mothers, excuse me, who launched one of the most extraordinary yet forgotten feminist anti-poverty movements in U.S. history, providing a blueprint today for an equitable future. So this oral history collection is in partnership with the Grow Fund, filmmakers Hazel Gerland Hooler, Red Owl Partners, Tinder Foundation, Black Feminist Futures, Us Who's Georgia Dusk, and the Center for Civic Innovation Atlanta, Represent Georgia, and WRFG Atlanta. So, after that full introduction, okay. Auntie Jackie, can you please introduce yourself by saying your name, pronouns, and age?
Pronounced and what?
H.
H?
Yes.
Say H in my name?
Yes.
H?
No.
Age.
Oh, okay. First, my age or my name?
First, your name.
Okay. My name is Jacqueline Toomer.
Okay.
I am 63 years of age.
Okay. So, one thing that we like to ask people to do when they first start off their oral history is who would you like to dedicate this oral history to?
Dr. Juanita Bynum. Mm.
Tell us more.
I had lost my home. My son was attending Morehouse. So with my losing my home, I still had my vehicle had been repoed. So my dad gave me his vehicle. So I was self-employed, but I lost my home to a predatory lender. So I lost my business, and I went down to zero. And my son was attending Morehouse College, but at that time he stayed on campus. So I knew that I could sacrifice to go and find a job somewhere. And one of my church members referred me to the airport. And she said, well, Auntie, they don't pay for $7.25 an hour. And I told her, I said, it's okay. So I needed to work 3 weeks at $7.25 to be able to get an apartment, to get the money for the apartment. So I slept in my vehicle on Virginia Avenue at the Garden Hilton Hotel. I would park there every night and catch a shuttle to the airport. And to make the money to get an apartment. And so after 3 weeks of working at the airport, late one night, Dr. Bynum, she didn't know who I was, and I didn't know that who she was at the time. They dispatched and said, well, you have one person that you need to take to a concourse. And I was telling her, I said, ma'am, I got to get back. It was late at night, and we out. She said, you're the only person have to take this lady to her destination. And so I said, ma'am, my feet swollen. You're the only person. Okay. Still, you know, with my presentation of good customer service skills and hurting in the inside, trying to make it back to the airport to catch a train. I was going through the airport escorting her. And she began, I guess, just to look at my outward appearance, like most people. And she said, man, what are you doing out here this time of night working at the airport pushing wheelchairs? You don't have any business out here this time of night. So, you know, I said, yes, ma'am. I say, you just have to sometime do what you have to do, you know. And so as I began to push her, she said, can I ask you how much you make an hour? And I said, $7.25. and hurting on the inside and these questions, but continue to, you know, exhibit good customer service, providing the questions she was asked me with the situation I was in. She said, well, how do you make it off $7.25 an hour? And I just immediately told her that God took a little boy's lunch and he held it up and he blessed it. And I trust God with the little. He fed 5,000. And $7.25, Lord, I trust you. And she took herself, turned around and asked me that I know who she was talking to. And I told her, no, ma'am. So at that time, I began to, you know, fall down and just really boo-hoo because she said, well, I'm Dr. Juanita Minor. But I guess with my, energy, she could just sense. And so I was able to just tell her. I never went to tell her that I was sleeping in my vehicle, but I told her I was in the book process of writing a book, which is 2 Fish and 5 Loaves that I have right now in label, you know, just trying to get some. And the book would be dedicated to her because I was already going through a tough time. So as we began to talk and I shared some things with her about her losing things and how, you know, she was on food stamp and how God made a way for her, she was inspired in my telling her the simple things with great impact that Jesus did. It was a simple task. And it don't take a whole lot. It's the simple things and belief and to be able to speak those things into existence. You know what I'm saying? And Lord, I trust you. Huh? If you did it with the 2 Fish, 5 Loaves, I trust you with $7.25. And even in the midst of sleeping in my vehicle for 2 weeks at the hotel, the manager began to monitor the camera at night. So one night it was a bad storm and he came out and he said, ma'am, every night I see you pull up here in the vehicle. It's storming and thundering out here tonight. You can't stay out here like this tonight. I'm not going to let you stay out here tonight. I have somebody cancel, and they had paid for the room, and he had an open reservation that I could stay there for a week. So 2 weeks I slept in the car, and the next week in the hotel. And then I was able, with that $7.25 an hour, to accumulate the $300 and something I need for a deposit for an apartment. So it's just have been a divine blessing. See, we make our plans, but God order our steps. At that night, at that time, I was in a hurry to get back to the train. And really was just trying to really refuse even getting this person. But when you be obedient to, you know, God's divine purpose in our life and plan, then you just, you act upon it. So in my obedience and everything, during that process, after Dr. Bynum got on the plane and we shared some things, I told her that's my book, 2 Fish, 5 Loaves. And so she said, oh, this is towards your book. I never looked at the money. I just put it in my pocket. So when I got on the train and began to count my tips, it was the $250, which is 2 Fish and 5 Loaves for the book. It's just been, you know, one day at a time and trying to tap into different avenues of trying to get help. But a lot of times people look at your outward appearance. So my outward appearance, I don't look like what I've been through or what I'm going through. And I've learned to be grateful. I dress from a thrift store. So a lot of times people look at my outward and they don't sew it to you. They don't give you anything. And when I heard about the Enhanced program, it was the last day. It was the last day. And I was really going through trying to pay my rent. And so the lady saw, my sister was saying that somebody had told her. She said, but I think the program is already ended. But I was obedient again. I just called over to City Hall. And she said, no, ma'am, you got until 4 o'clock. The day is the last day, but you got to 4 o'clock to apply. So she gave me the information because other women wouldn't even share the information. And we all going through something, you know, in society. You know, we don't value integrity anymore and more than trying to help somebody else. And when you make things happen for people, God open doors for you. But people will look at the outward. And so all my life I've gone through the rejection you know, rejection. So I'll say, this program, the same thing, you know, but let me just try anyway. The last day, and when I, you know, put the information in and gave them all they needed, and they came back with the response, I was just so overwhelmed because I've always been rejected. Always, even in serving in ministry in the church, to serve and do well, and people look at your outward. When I actually dress from the thrift store, that's my happy place to go every week and pick up. My mom said before she died, I don't care what you go through in life, always fix yourself up and nobody will never know it. So I always wear the little pearls. I would use, you know, wear the little pearls because pearls represent power and strength. And I just fix myself up. But because of that, I reject it. And people don't know until you tell them, you know. So you don't have to look like what you're going through. And people need to realize that we're all dealing with, either we're in a situation going through or coming out. But if you can be a blessing, if you have information to share with other women that's in a situation, opposed to looking at their outward appearance, sow it to them. Because that's the godly, heartly thing to do. To not be selfish with it. And that's what society now, you know what I'm saying? They have information and they won't tell people that don't look like they're going through nothing. But sometimes that can be a test. God can test in those situations so you to know funding, or you can have information to help somebody and then you don't share it. So Helping Hands has really been a blessing to me. I wasn't rejected. Even though in my mind I kept saying, you know, but it was a genuine blessing. And I'm grateful and I really appreciate the program for what it stands for. And when it said in hands, in God's hand, he got me. And the program itself to represent in her hands is just the significance of it. You know what I'm saying? In the bosom of Jesus, I got you. And so it just have been a divine blessing. The staff have, the customer service have been excellent. And the money is always there. And I'm able to pay my rent and look ahead for the next purpose of whatever God desire for me to be used in the world to let somebody else know. You don't have to look like what you're going through. So, but I appreciate In Her Hands for sowing the seed of the funding to help me. And that program will be a blessing to a lot of women from the north, south, and east, and the west. They didn't look at my outward appearance, you know, and it's been a blessing.
Thank you so much for sharing this story and for speaking on how it's touched on you, touched your life, and changed your life. I appreciate it. I had a few other questions, but you answered all of them in that story. It was a beautiful story.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, so thank you. Before we stop recording, is there anything else that you want to share and make sure it's included in this recording?
No, just, you know, God is good, and we have to be obedient in this season. To opportunities that people put forth, you know, with a lot of Black Afro-American women to help us, because you know the outward appearance people look at and don't judge that, you know, the heart in hands having to help me.
Thank you.
Y'all, I